Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. On this Thursday, as we roll through, we're going to talk a little league tomorrow. I know I'm looking forward to that. As we sit here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And looking forward to hearing from Pete Jensen from NHL.com in the Stanley Cup Finals. Tomorrow, Dick Girardi will be on the show talking about the Belmont Stakes. And also Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report tomorrow, on top of our look at the 75th anniversary of Little League Baseball. Kevin Herr with us.
How are you, sir?
Doing well. And, yeah.
I understand that. I was going to say, I understand that Colin Kaepernick is changing the face of payment of quarterbacks in the NFL now.
Well, I don't know in what way. You got a $110 million deal, $61 million of it happened to be guaranteed.
See, that's the thing that I think people are forgetting when they're talking about that the deal's worth a maximum of $126 million. I mean, that's if he gets everything and excels. Basically, he's going to have to be an amazing quarterback for the next, what was it, 7 years of the deal to be able to get the entire amount of money.
Yeah, I mean, so nothing's really changed in that regard. I mean, I think Tom Brady's guarantee is $57 million. Drew Brees' guarantee, I think, was Drew Brees 60? I think 60 of his 100 was guaranteed. Kaepernick gets about the same deal. So, I mean, it's not, you know, you have to make the team to get there. There are incentives. You have to get to the incentives to get there. It takes a while to do it. And the NFL, it's different than Major League Baseball. You hear a $110 million deal in Major League Baseball, the player is going to get all $110 million.
You know, when I looked into this a little further, I'm actually surprised he signed the deal. I mean, yeah, it's a nice amount of money, but a lot of things are going to have to fall into place for him to be able to you know, get that.
Kevin, he has $61 million guaranteed.
All right, so the money on the table is pretty good. I'm not going to deny that.
Okay. He has $4 million more guaranteed than Tom Brady. I mean, what's there to think about?
Yeah, that's very true, but he's looking at a minimum of $13 million a season.
Yeah, but you can't look at the big number. I just explained to you, you can't look at the big number. The big number means nothing. It's the guaranteed part. If you're guaranteed the $61 million, then you, okay? That, after that, anything else over that on the path to 110 is gravy money. Hey, he's set for life now. He's got $61 million. Very few people on the planet can squander $61 million.
All those NFL players historically have been able to do it better than anybody.
Well, it's but $61 million, though. And he's, you know, now with that will come expectations. No question. And it is a recognition by the 49ers now moving into a new stadium this year, but it's a recognition by the 49ers that they know the most important position on the field is quarterback, and they also know that, and they also feel moving forward that this is the guy that can get them there. Now, he's had a season and a half as a starter. He has started in one Super Bowl game. He has started in two NFC title games. Now the question is, what can he win it?
Well, that's the thing. Now it's going to have to be get to the next level.
You know, with $61 million in guaranteed money, there are expectations. And that's something that... and it comes with the territory, and it's justified to come with the territory because $61 million translates not just into what the TV networks pay, it also translates into what you're paying at the park.
And it's going to be a new park very soon.
Well, exactly. But it's still, I mean, that's the revenue stream in the NFL is heavy. 49ers are a young team, so they've got Crabtree. They're young now. I mean, beyond Frank Gore, they're young now with tailback. Defensively, the loss of Navarro Bowman and how much he can play this year is going to be really iffy. And that's going to be a big part of this. Patrick Willis is really, really good. But you can debate as to who's better, Navarro Bowman or Patrick Willis. They lost Dante Whitner. He signed with Cleveland. So there are a lot of components to this where it's still not quite the same 49ers team. And that's why it's so hard in the NFL to do what the Patriots have traditionally done. And for the most part, what the Steelers have been doing. Those have been the two teams, the two franchises that in this era of short-lived gratification, then a downturn, followed by more short-term gratification. The Steelers and the Patriots more so than the Steelers, for obvious reasons, have stayed at a pretty high level, that they've stayed within the top 10 of the National Football League for the last 15 years, respectively. Nobody else has been able to do that. The 49ers may have all these Super Bowl championships, but before Jim Harbaugh came in and some of the young talents started to mature, they were in an absolute down cycle. News out of the Big Ten today. And the Big Ten football championship game is going to stay in Indianapolis, as that has been renewed through 2021 at Lucas Oil Stadium. Would have liked to have seen if they took it 1 year to Lambeau Field in Green Bay. After all, you do have Lambeau Field in your footprint. Yeah, wouldn't I, just to do it for the heck of it, 1 year. But they're going to keep it in Indianapolis, which is an awesome facility. And it's centralized through 2021. And the Big Ten basketball tournament is going to rotate between Chicago and Indianapolis through 2022. With two exceptions. And that is in 2017 going to the Verizon Center in D.C. And there is no 2018 site yet. Makes you ponder as to where that might be. But that's what they're going to do. The Big Ten football championship game stays at Lucas Oil Stadium through 2021. Big Ten men's basketball tournament is going to be in Chicago in 15, which we already knew, and Indianapolis in 16, which we already knew, Verizon Center in 17, which we already knew. 18 is TBD, to be determined. Chicago, let's see, and then you go in 19, Chicago at the United Center gets it in 19, Bankers Life in Indianapolis gets it in 20. Then in 21, it goes back to Chicago. 22, it goes back to Indianapolis. So now that's all set for the Big Ten through 2022. And the women's basketball tournament will be in Indianapolis from 2017 through 2022. And the women's tournament, you can't move it anywhere else except, you can't hold it anywhere else except Indianapolis. Every time they've tried to hold it someplace else, it is usually turned into a skip loader taking the cash out to the parking lot and burning it. So, you know, I mean, it's already been proven you can't go anywhere else.
Hello, and hello.
Yes, yes. I mean, where the announcers are heard by the coaches on the bench. So, you know, that's what they'll do with that, which is that, you know, and Indianapolis really supports the women's tournament, does a great job with it. Plus, it's, you know, and the way Indianapolis is set up, I mean, really, I love going to Chicago. I mean, you know, we go to Chicago, we're right there in the Magnificent Mile, the whole deal, right there on Michigan Ave. It's fabulous, right? I mean, in terms of what you have around you, the restaurants, you want to go to the Chop House, you want to go over to Harry Carey's, you want to go, you know, whatever. You've got world-class restaurants all over you. I mean, if you love steak and you can't find one in Chicago, you're a dope, okay?
That's why they have all a steak named after them.
Yes, and now Indianapolis has great, you know, between Harry and Izzy's and St. Elmo's. I mean, I can go on and on the great places they have. The United Center, though, is not in downtown. You have to travel out 3-4 miles before you get there, and that's Chicago Stadium was out there before too, so it's like they just tore down Chicago Stadium, made it a parking lot, and built the United Center. Indianapolis is in this quad, where on one side it's Lucas Oil Stadium, on the other side it's Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and there's nothing but hotels in the middle. You're like, it's unbelievable. Hey, let's walk over. Yeah, I mean, this year I walked. I did the show, finished the show at 5 o'clock. We were on the air, at 6:30?
I think so, yeah. I think it was 6:30.
I was done at 5 o'clock, packed up all the equipment, and I walked over. Didn't have to do anything. Didn't have to take a cab. Didn't have to do anything else. I mean, Indianapolis is an awesome setup. I mean, Indianapolis is absolutely set up for big events. So we'll find out what 2018 is. Go ahead.
By the way, one more quick Colin Kaepernick fact. In Madden 15, the virtual version of Colin will include the tats.
Oh, my God.
Virtual Colin will have tats.
You really buy it?
I want it just for that. Really? I want to buy it just for that right now. I'm not proud of it, but I want to buy it just for that.
Wow.
Let's see. The finals, I think, for the cover is between Richard Sherman and Cam Newton right now.
Surprised they have any money left to do it.
Well, this is a game where you can show the players' names and their statistics and their and their tattoos, as it were.
I can't really say too much about it, only because I've never played it. I have no desire to play it. Don't know how it works.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, the amazing thing about the graphics on this, that they can put the tattoos on his arm. Not only that, but have the ridges and the cut of the helmet right down to the very last detail. It's very much like watching a game in real life. It's that close to reality. I've seen the screenshots. It's unbelievable.
You know, one of the things I enjoy about announcing games?
They're actually real games.
Is that it's actually a real game.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Yeah, like with real people.
The best thing about the games, though, that I play, I can tell these guys what to do, and I don't have to pay them a salary. Living my life vicariously through others, playing video games.
The veterans that went through D-Day wonder why they did it for you. All right.
And I understand.
Pete Jensen, NHL.com, next half hour in the Stanley Cup.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, so Kevin asked me a question during the break. I go to answer, he said, I can't do it now. We're going back on.
Well, unlike you, I actually have responsibilities other than clicking a button and turning my microphone on. You know, I'm starting to feel Jeff Tarman. I'm feeling a connection with Jeff Tarman more and more every day.
Look, let's not make the world think you're splitting the atom there. Okay, Enrico Fermi? All right.
I've got responsibilities, man.
Wow. And a tude to go with it.
It's called pride.
Oh, that was stripped away 2.5 years ago. All right.
More than that was stripped away, but we were...
The Stanley Cup final got underway last night with the Kings in overtime and the Justin Williams goal, 4:54 in, beating the New York Rangers 3-2 to take game one. Game two was Saturday night. We bring in Pete Jensen from NHL.com. Pete, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Steve. Great time of year for some hockey talk.
No question. Last night we saw the speed of the Rangers on display, but also the explosiveness of the Kings. How different are the Kings now compared to the champions of 2 years ago?
Well, it's amazing. I mean, they rolled through the Western Conference in 2012 postseason. And Jonathan Quick was playing out of his mind. Really, they made quick work of each of their opponents in those four rounds. This postseason has been all about their resilience and all about their character in these tough back-against-the-wall situations. And we saw it again last night. Another two-goal lead diminished, and the Rangers were left searching for answers, really. Quickly after they gained that 2-0 lead, Kyle Clifford, a guy who hasn't scored in ages for the Kings, fourth line, tough guy, really came through with a clutch goal. And then you saw their playmakers again. In the third period, the LA Kings just came at you at a very high offensive level. And I think the LA Kings' biggest difference is their offensive firepower here in the playoffs in 2014. Whether you talk about Marian Gaborik, Justin Williams, who we saw score the winner last night, the Kings have three of the four players in, league-wide with 20 or more points in this postseason: Jeff Carter, Justin Williams, and Anze Kopitar. And then you go on to talk about Drew Doughty, who had an unbelievable move last night for a goal. He has the most points by a defenseman in the postseason, dating back to Chris Pronger in 2009-2010. So you're talking about a team that has totally elevated their offensive game plan and execution here in the playoffs.
It's only my opinion, but I think Doughty's the best offensive defenseman I've seen in probably at least 10 years in the NHL, if not 15.
It's amazing. He's a guy that is very steady in the regular season and doesn't really wow you on the stat sheet, But when you look at his two-way game, and especially in the playoffs, he has been at some kind of level lately in terms of possessing the puck, helping his team get the puck back when they've lost it. And then, of course, on the power play, the I know the Kings struggled last night, missed out on their three chances, but they have been a really explosive unit on the power play this postseason, and Doughty has been, you know, one of the biggest reasons, if not the biggest reason, why that unit has clicked so well, and he has been able to put it all together and make all these high-flying lines, the top line and the second line for the Kings, really, he's made it all come into fruition here in the playoffs. He's really becoming, I know he wasn't a Norris Trophy candidate, that's looking more and more ridiculous by the day, to be honest, because he's proved here in the playoffs and really the past three postseasons, where he has more points than any other defenseman over that span, he has proven time and time again of late to be a go-to guy here down the stretch of the season.
I would want him handling the puck. Now, he made the one mistake last night. You know, sometimes you get a little too cute. The Rangers were awfully quick in the opening 20 last night, Pete. I think part of that is they're naturally quick to begin with, but I think the other part is they were also rested along the way. Your thoughts on the Rangers, who obviously need Lundqvist to come up big and keep games in the twos?
Yeah, it's unfortunate from a Lundqvist standpoint what happened last night. You're talking about the biggest shot differential in a third period since the expansion era in 1967. Last night in the third period, it was 20-3 in favor of the Kings. Lundqvist gets you through that, and then you come up empty for him in that period and also in overtime. But back to the speed, you saw again the fresh legs. Benoit Pouliot got into the passing lane, stripped the puck and took it the distance for a nice goal to open the scoring. Carl Hagelin as well had a breakaway chance where he ended up scoring, where the puck went off the defenseman's skate. And then later in the game had that wild sequence where he, you know, took the puck away and gave the Rangers a chance to get a goal to get them out of that third period alive. Again, the speed needs to be a factor for the Rangers. The Kings, though, over the course of a series, adjust their game plan and adjust their execution better than any team maybe I've ever seen, especially in this playoffs. It's when you look at the dynamic offensive teams that they've shut down late in series, from the Sharks to the Ducks and, of course, the Blackhawks, just to be able to contain and adjust on the fly, I think that speed of the Rangers over the course of this series will become less and less of a factor, because I think they've played a lot of games themselves. You know, they've played 21 games. The Kings have played 22 this postseason, and I don't think they've faced a team, a well-rounded two-way team like the Kings, in terms of their size and their possession numbers. I don't think that they fared well yesterday, but if you're not going to win those games when you're have the driver's seat for a little while and then still have an opportunity to hang around, you're not going to take advantage of those. It's going to be a short series potentially for the Rangers. So they got to be more careful, and the Kings, as they adjust, it's going to become more and more difficult for the Rangers down the road.
Pete Jensen, NHL.com, joining us. Pete, you look at 2009, it was Detroit, Pittsburgh, Stars, two hotbed cities. 10 was Chicago, Philadelphia, big cities, hotbed places. Boston, Vancouver. Okay, now you have a Canadian team in the mix in Vancouver. Then the Kings won it 2 years ago. And then last year, you had Chicago, Boston. Again, hotbed situation. Now you have Los Angeles, New York. First time ever. What are the pluses for the NHL in having a Los Angeles, New York final?
I think you have an opportunity to grow the sport in the two biggest cities in America.
Because the Devils don't do that. I mean, because the Kings beat the Devils 2 years ago.
Right. The Devils, that ended up being a series that went six games but didn't have really a national allure, obviously. But you you look at this series, and it brings so much to the table in terms of the celebrity interest, the general interest. You saw yesterday at Bryant Park right down the road, thousands of people were watching the game.
Right.
Crazy scene. I mean, the whole city has been buzzing about this team, which has been unusual. I mean, usually you see hockey being of great interest. Obviously, the Rangers sell out so many games throughout the past few seasons that there is that interest there, but to captivate the entire city, and I think that's happening in L.A. as well, it's something that can spark interest from the cities who have been eliminated and also grow the game in the two biggest cities in America. So I think that's a big plus for the league right now, and it's if the series continues in any type of capacity as we saw, you know, last night, I think we're in for a nice series and we're in for a captivating audience along the way. You saw the best NBC, NBCSN, either one, the best rating for a New York market last night for Game 1, so it's going to continue to expand as this series rolls on.
I want to talk about that and the popularity of the league right now. You, of course, in working with NHL.com, you can at least get a read from hits and so forth. What have you noticed in the last couple of years about the number of hits the website gets, the number and the interest in what's going on with the website, which indicates in a lot of ways overall interest? What are you seeing?
Yeah, the unique visitors are up. It's something we continue to work in our social media department as that continues to grow throughout the entire, you know, sports landscape. We have a lot of fan interaction initiatives, and it just continues to grow. And this year, obviously, we had the expanded stadium series games throughout the country. So it's just been, it's been a nice time for the league, especially after the lockout 2 balls ago. It's just, it's an exciting time for everybody involved, and especially to have, after such a, I know Commissioner Bettman has been describing it as a season like no other throughout the season, and it is really peaking at this point. We saw one of the best series of the past decade, this past round, you know, the Blackhawks and the Kings, and now as this series continues to evolve, we're, you know, it's just going to be an exciting time. And I think with our numbers being up and the league moving in the right direction, it's the sky's the limit moving forward, and it's nice to see different markets getting involved with the postseason. And now we have the Rangers being back in the Cup Final for the first time in 20 years, so it's an opportunity to win back some of those fans, captivate an audience that maybe you didn't have a couple of years ago. So it's an important time for the league, and I think the league has responded very well.
Which brings us to the next part. We had Mike Lang on the show last month, and you know, and Mike goes back, he's, you know, 3 decades plus with the Penguins, so he's seen it all. He was talking about the great growth of the NHL. And Mike, early in his career, broadcasted in San Diego, broadcasted in Phoenix before they had franchises. I mean, he's been to other parts of the country where hockey allegedly wouldn't be hot, but turns out it is. We talked about the expansion, and by the way, today is the, 47th anniversary of the 6-team expansion, which is today. And he said one of the more disappointing things to him was when Atlanta moved to Winnipeg. He felt that in the overall strategy, that was a setback because the NHL needs the American markets. And in a country of 35 million, which is what Canada is, they now have 7 teams. California has 38 million people. They have 3. What are your thoughts on the distribution of teams in the NHL?
I think California is a great example to look at and how they've evolved from a competitive standpoint and a fan interest standpoint. And in terms of, you look at those 3 teams, how they have evolved. I mean, they were 3 of the top 5 teams in the NHL this season, and they have just the whole game has grown, and hockey in California in each of those three markets, Anaheim, San Jose, and Los Angeles, you look back 10, 20 years, I mean, there were not any youth programs. It's all about emerging those youth programs and then building upon them, seeing more products come from those cities and play for the NHL teams in those areas or around the country. And I think you start to see it in markets like Nashville, Phoenix, especially Nashville. Nashville's a nice niche market. That team, with the exception of this past season, had been in the playoffs for many consecutive years. It's all about growing the interest and sparking the fan interest. And then from there, it's up to the teams and the fans of that particular city and the ownership groups individually to try to maximize what they're able to do, whether it's a niche market or a up-and-coming. There's a lot of potential, and I think it's... remains to be seen if there's any further expansion, but to see some of those markets expanding, getting better sponsorship deals, anything along those lines, it's an exciting time for those cities. And I think, again, California is a great example of how a non-traditional hockey market could thrive over a number of years with the right efforts on and off the ice.
Yeah, it goes back to the old Jack Kent Cook joke when he owned the Lakers, the Kings, and the Redskins at the same time. And they asked him about owning the Kings. And, this is back in the early 70s. And, they weren't drawing well. They weren't playing well, whatever. And they asked him about owning the team. And he said, why did you think you could succeed in Los Angeles? And he said, well, our research showed there were a lot of transplanted Canadians in Southern California. He said, the other part of our research now shows, after going through it a few years, that they left Canada because they hate hockey. Well, but that's all changed now. The youth programs, I don't know how much you can track it at NHL.com, but the youth programs for hockey in California have exploded off the charts.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And we saw... earlier in the postseason when the Sharks played the Kings, a couple of prospects on both sides being from the California area. And it's nice to see, and I think it's conducive to further growth. And that's how you really are able to, once you have the examples of players who can take that step and develop from their roots in those cities, non-traditional hockey markets, then you really start to build a following and build a foundation for your future success in terms of your franchise and also growing the sport in the particular area. So it's nice to see that type of growth, for sure.
Pete, my friend, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for carving out some time for us today.
No problem, Steve. Anytime. Enjoy the rest of the Cup final.
Pete Jensen, NHL.com. Kevin's complete analysis and breakdown of the interview in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin's complete interview analysis can be found online
at noonegoesthere.com.
Again?
Oh, you'd like that.
Yeah. You can get full stadium replicas from Legos.
I saw that. I didn't see Beaver Stadium, though, on the list.
Well, you know where Legos are, my man. I can go over and get you some.
That's true.
At some point, if I'm visiting my brother.
That's true. I'm just not that creative.
It's where they are. If you look at the back of a Legos box, you'll see distributed in Enfield, CT. That is where I grew up. USC, Michigan, Auburn, Alabama, all in Legos.
I mean, the Michigan one's kind of bogus. I mean, you look at it like, okay, really? It's like, this is all in blue with a field in the middle.
There's one thing I did notice that I think it's Michigan has no lights.
I don't think Michigan has lights.
See, I was wondering that too. I thought they had played night games there before.
Well, they have. They have, but you know, a lot of schools still use Musco lighting.
So it's temporary lighting.
Where they bring in trucks and rent them out and the whole thing. Yeah, so it's not a standard that there's lights everywhere.
So there may be, they may have night games there, but there's not permanent lighting. That I didn't
know. Right, they just rent the lights.
Well, then it's a very accurate stadium then.
Yeah.
Because the one time I was there, I didn't remember seeing any lights there either, now that you mention it.
No, because they don't have lights. There's a good reason for that. Now, these Lego replicas are $400. How about that, huh?
Yeah. I'd like to build one and collect that $400 for myself. That's a good deal for the guy building it.
Well, that takes a lot of work to build it.
No doubt.
Wait, come on, man.